Welcome to Popcast Deluxe, your psycho CEO of Weekly Cultural Review. I am John Caramonica, a critic at the New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. This is us.
This is
now.
This is you then. This is me now. We're going to talk about are pop stars okay?
They're going through it.
Are they literally? I mean, we're going to get
They're
into
flailing.
This. I was watching the J-Lo movie. And I was agog. My jaw was dropped the entire time.
Yeah, it's event cinema.
We're going to get into this in a minute. I do want to say three things before we get into it. One, subscribe to youtube.com/popcast. There's a button if you're watching, because why wouldn't you be watching? There's a button. Click that button. Two, Pat, who some of you know from the Discord and from the Facebook group, Pat has put us on TikTok. We've been on TikTok for a couple of weeks. There are clips. I did a little live reaction after the Super Bowl, after the Grammys. That's TikTok.com/popcastdeluxe. And the third thing, you may have caught this, but I made a Zazzle.
A lot of merch.
This is merch. Look, people have been asking for mugs. I realized I didn't want to be in the mug shipping business. That seems like a dangerous, I'm just me in my house with bubble wrap. It's not a great thing. Popcast mugs are on Zazzle. They're official. Someone in the Facebook group's like, is this official?
Nothing we do is quite official.
It's, sure.
But it's all very official.
Yes, it's extremely official. There are mugs. There's a dog bowl. I don't know. I was feeling frisky one night. There's a Zazzle. So go ahead and get a mug. Get some playing cards. Get a skateboard deck.
Proceeds go to Neediest Cases Fund.
Yes.
Which is not us.
Not us. The New York Times Neediest Cases Fund. We do have needs, but not those needs. Skateboard deck. If you do get the skateboard deck and you rip some tricks on it, send us a video. We're going to show your video. Anyway, that's the shilling. Because we're okay, but pop stars,
they're not okay. Especially the ones who have been around a long time. They're going through it. They don't know how to not be the center of the world. And I think
they are most assuredly not the center of the world anymore.
And that's how you
certainly
end up
generationally.
Yes. And that's how you end up with Jennifer Lopez's new visual album.
You must respect the ebb and flow of the universe.
Well, there's
an album
and there's a visual thing. There's also another film, a making of.
Yeah.
It's being rolled out in parts.
With some Bennifer.
Is it giving Renaissance?
Yeah, this is act two is where we want to spend most of our time. Act two of This Is Me Now. This is an hour and change music video?
Sure. Narrative music video. It reminds me a little bit, in the early VHS era, where pop stars were I'm spreading my wings. Mm-mm. It's we're gonna make a 17 minute something and sell it on a VHS tape. It's giving that, but at a $20 million price tag.
You think that's where that's what the budget was?
It was, there's a Variety article or something that's why Jennifer Lopez spent $20 million of her own money or something.
So this is a collaboration with Dave Myers.
Sure.
We'll get there.
Sure. Play it straight. About it like it's normal.
Dave Myers, one of the most storied music video directors of all time. This is the guy behind, Lose Control. Is Missy Elliott. This is
every important video from the late 90s, a lot of hip hop videos, late 90s into the mid 2000s.
But then this is also the Dave Myers who made Me, the Taylor Swift video. Late period Dave Myers, we'll call it hit or miss.
Yeah.
Miss
or hit.
Yeah. For every laugh now, cry later, there's a Way Too Sexy. Do you like the Way Too Sexy video?
Low key.
Okay. I thought maybe. We should just get it out of the way. There's Ben Affleck in the credits on this thing and also on the screen.
Minimally.
Well,
I could have used, frankly, a little bit more Ben Affleck. I thought the fact that I got more from Ben Affleck in the Duncan commercial in the Super Bowl.
Especially with the outtakes.
Yeah. You need no introduction,
my partner. Sometimes it's really hard to be your friend.
You said you were going to support me. Dunkin'! Don't go away. My heart. Why you dunking me,
girl? Why you dunking me? Dunkin'! My heart. Like, I got better Ben there than in this film. It's like a waste of talent. He's right there. He's in the house.
So this is J-Lo's comeback album. It's been, what, like 10 years since a J-Lo solo album. And it's very much about her journey. It's very much about her journey through love, her three divorces, and now being in a place where she can be with her one true person, who is her old one true person, Mr. Affleck, you know, Oscar winning actor and director, Ben Affleck.
The Argonaut.
And how she got to the place where she was comfortable enough with herself to find true love.
And look, girl, who can relate, right? Who can relate? Like,
it's a timeless journey.
You see my cheekbones, right? I'm trying so hard to keep a straight face while you're describing what's happening here. Better to have you just play it straight. Just keep saying what happens. So, and I'm going to, the internal pressure on my cheekbones is out of control.
So the framing device for this is the Puerto Rican myth of Alida and Taru.
Yes.
Which is a lost love story. There's a hummingbird motif.
Yes.
And we begin in J-Lo's heart, which is like steampunk. This is like a Dave Myers thing. Dave Myers loves like a steampunk
factory
CGI aesthetic. And this
is like, just as a sidebar, I don't know, like, what's the AI program that makes art?
Yeah. Like
DALL-E?
Sure. Yeah.
This film
is one of them.
There's a lot of DALL-E in this film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of
this DALL-E. Is what was fed into the computers to create.
I mean, honestly, CGI artists all over the world are probably like really pissed about AI. But then if this is what AI comes up with, like maybe they'll be okay. I can't do this anymore.
I just want to get a couple more plot points in there, and then we can talk about what it means.
Are you going to say the word zodiacal council?
Yes. But first, we open after the heart factory thing, or before. The time is a stretchy it's
truly
concept.
A flat circle. Truly a flat circle
in this film. But she's riding across the ice.
On the
back of Ben's motorcycle. In like seemingly an homage to the Bound 2 video.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Okay, sure.
I don't know if it's actually.
No, I don't think so.
There's more ripoff / homage that I want to get to later. Remind me specifically in the intervention scene. but she's riding across the ice land.
Sure.
With Ben Affleck. And then there's like a big crash. Maybe then you go back in time to her heart. Fat Joe plays her therapist.
Great. Like, honestly, you know, a little contrived, a little lumpy in the line delivery, but great.
I thought he was good.
Incredible sweaters.
On Fat Joe.
Incredible sweaters. Like, look, I really like how Fat Joe dresses IRL. I genuinely do.
Never thought I'd hear anyone say the words, let alone you. But
okay. I really like it. Yeah. I think that he has a really interesting sense of color, mm-hmm. and he wears clothes that are like really well proportioned to his body and often in unexpected fabrics.
His new body.
Yes. But it's like he wears clothes that make sense for him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's like a lauded sneakerhead, etc. But like, I genuinely think he dresses well.
He dressed himself for the J-Lo movie?
I think he was styled in quote quiet luxury.
Yeah.
And I thought all the sweaters were incredible to the point where I literally walked up to the television to Google image search one of the sweaters.
You photographed the J-Lo movie like it was a concert?
Yes, I did, in my house, in my living room. And it was an incredible Missoni Jacquard cardigan. And he was killing it.
He was absolutely good. Killing it. He was really good playing Dr. Melfi.
Anyway, I just had Fat Joe sweater. Like, my notes are literally just like Fat Joe sweaters.
And then the last thing I want to say
Before I absolutely lose it, plot-wise,
is that a lot of the film in between the songs are songs.
There are songs. They are extremely, like, biographical.
Yes. And they are not in the same order as the album. which I thought was an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
They follow a narrative.
Yes.
Loosely. But in between, in the dialogue stuff, there is a zodiacal council with like a flex of casting.
I don't get it.
Libra and Leo are supposed to work. It's a thing.
No, nobody likes a drunk boy.
What's with her and all the bad boys?
Any of those people there on the same day?
Oh, good question. It's a big thing in the plot of the film of whether the astrological signs of J-Lo and her lovers align. And in fact, like maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't.
What's your sign?
Hers?
No, yours.
Leo. You?
That's a problem, apparently. I'm a Libra.
Okay.
Also a problem.
What's apparently. Our chemistry like?
I don't know.
Tell us in the comments.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm just going to throw out some names on the Zodiac Council. This I didn't like. The casting does not match their real astrological signs. I know because Post Malone plays Leo. And I was like, oh, Post Malone, big Leo energy. And I looked it up. Not true. Weird. Jay Shetty.
Sad Guru.
Jane Fonda.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Kiki Palmer.
Kim Petras.
Wait, can I pull one more? I think I'm out. Jennifer Lewis. Insane.
Jane Fonda. There's also, I read a little bit about, I'm sorry, I'm holding so much back. Yeah. But like I read a little bit of the press and like someone interviewed Jane Fonda and Jane Fonda was basically like, I kind of told her not to make this movie.
True wisdom.
Yeah. I sort of like pushed her. Like, why do you want to tell this story?
Sure.
But apparently then just capitulated and was like, sure, I'll play Sagittarius or whatever. You know, like.
What is the check like for Jane Fonda or Post Malone?
I wonder if they worked for.
Is it all on the strength of like I'm J-Lo?
I feel like it's on the arm.
You think Ben made the call?
No, I think J-Lo.
You think it's like casting in an Affleck film?
Benny Medina.
Oh, Benny Medina.
That'd be my guess.
Okay. J-Lo's longtime manager.
Okay.
All right. You like this movie?
No. That's
the wrong question.
It's the wrong. Okay. So I watched it last night and I had seen a couple things in advance, like press stuff, but I had not read any.
And it went a little viral in clips.
There you go. Yeah. I had not read any reviews. And so I was like, let me see what are people saying about it? And I was like, I wonder if it's even getting reviewed. Yeah. You know, it's on Amazon.
No, it's on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. No, but I didn't know. But I was like, oh, maybe people are ignoring this. You know, there's so many trite pop star documentaries that I was like, oh, maybe people just aren't taking this seriously.
This is not a trite pop star documentary.
It's absolutely not. It's like, it's ambitious. I'm going to stop. The thing that really jumped out at me about the reviews is how straight-faced they are.
I know.
They are so straight. They are just like, and then this happened.
That's what I was just doing.
I know. And I was like, I'm bubbling inside. They're like, then this happened. And here's the narrative. And it's like, if you are receiving this film on the level of text and not meta text, if you are receiving this film on the level of art and not commerce, I mean, and obviously those things can coexist. All this, but like if that is the level you're not doing your job. Like, I'm sorry. Did you see in the opening credits like the MGM logo and it was like art for art's sake? Like that's the motto. Did you catch that? That was sickening.
Yeah.
That was unreal. Look, this is gonna be a tough one. I like Jennifer Lopez a lot. One of the great actresses of the 2000s, I think.
Oh, okay.
I really think she's incredibly good in films. And I think we're going to talk a little bit later about great Jennifer Lopez moments. I want to be clear. I really like Jennifer Lopez.
Same.
I see this film as a symptom of a larger existential crisis about how pop stars are allowed to age.
And that's why we're here.
Is it? Sure. It's what we've said. Jennifer Lopez has not been a successful musician in quite a while. And apart from maybe two or three years in the early 2000s, maybe has never been truly a successful musician.
I Love You Poppy slander?
Wow. Oh, good. Frank, fine.
Touche.
I sit corrected. Jennifer Lopez has I think over the course of her career, been advertised as sort of like, she can act, she can dance, she can sing, she can be a famous person, you know, been in all these high profile relationships, she's a public facing A-list star.
Yes.
The music hasn't always held up that end of the bargain.
Correct.
And so coming back after 10 years, I wonder if the conversations around that in that world are like, how do we make this the biggest event possible? And obviously doing a film like this makes it a big event.
Does it?
Well, but this is what I'm saying. This, yeah. It makes it a big event,
yes.
But the event is not the music.
Yeah.
The event is this. And now you have made a film that is literally just meme fodder.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what she was intending to do.
Definitely not.
I also think there's a version of this idea that really, really, really can work. But I don't know if Jennifer Lopez is funny. Like, I don't think she's like wants to poke fun at herself.
It is not Mariah Carey.
No, she wants to dig into obviously things that she's dealing with, but she's not like making herself the butt of the joke.
It's quite sincere.
Yeah. And I think to do a visual narrative this ornate and Dolly coded and extravagant, but have it be so sincere,
yeah,
to your point, is it feels like the wrong tone. If this had been straight punchlines, like really making yourself the butt of the joke, and again, not everybody's up for that, and not everybody's good at that.
Certainly not J-Lo, from what we know.
No, but that version of it with this excess that Dave Myers brings, that's maybe something. But this as it is,
let's just say it's not really working. This album came out on Friday.
Did not seem to hit.
Streams are not healthy.
Didn't we talk about this like 3 weeks ago where I was like, I didn't even know the J-Lo album was coming.
Yeah.
But it was like the New Music Friday. It was like number 70 on New Music Friday.
And I mean, it's not going to be that much higher probably on the Billboard charts. This is not an A-list grand return for a pop diva in the way that it seemingly was conceived. Like, I want to know how many times in the group texts and the Slack channels and the boardroom meetings, like, the word lemonade was said.
Yeah.
And like, these things are not on the same plane.
Yeah.
I don't have to.
I mean, it's like, again, not to return to Beyonce in every episode as like a reference point for every other conversation. But like,
this is lemonade. This is J-Lo's lemonade.
It is lemon.
I see.
It's a lemon. It is a lemon. We talked last week about Beyonce being a conceptualist, and her conceptual work extends to video.
Yeah.
And this is clearly a play for that. But I'm trying to be generous here. What if the rollout was an actual theatrical film or like a Netflix rom-com, Three Weddings, Three Weddings and a Comeback or whatever.
Sure. Semi-autobiographical.
Yes. And it's funny and it's punchline-y and it's, she doesn't have to play herself. She doesn't have to wear the sort of like the pain of the breakups and the alleged or alluded to abuse and so on.
The biographical stuff. Yeah. The Castle Hill. Did you like the Castle Hill subway stop? Oh, cameo? Yeah.
Yes. That's, I think that was filmed in this room. Yeah. She doesn't have to wear, you know, the gun dropping out of the waistband, like all this, like she didn't have to wear that on her own face. Yeah. There's a version of that. That's a great film. But the thing where it's like, I'm doing therapeutic purging in, like, on camera, but mm-hmm. I'm also doing it in the script, mm-hmm. and it's all...
You like the music? yeah, you're adjusting your collar. There's some...
Cracking my neck.
There's some struggle moments.
Musically?
Musically. Vocally, lyrically.
You really hear the technology. In the same way that, like, you see the technology in the film, you hear the technology. I mean, it sounds... Like, honestly, it sounds like country music. It sounds like a lot of contemporary country music in terms of the intensity of the vocal filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the arrangements, obviously. Yeah, it also has... Sometimes when I think famous people write about their lives, they want to be faithful to the details, but the details are not necessarily, like, what makes great pop music.
Yeah.
So you hear the clunkiness around the, like... raising two kids or right. like whatever.
Three
like,
marriages, two kids.
Right. Like whatever. Something yeah. that's like, this is a fact.
Yep.
Just because a fact is true does not make it an artful lyric. And even if it was an artful lyric, it's like, how are you delivering that lyric? There's a man.
Can I call out just a couple other highlights for me? And then we can continue to talk about it on a meta level. Because I do think it's like something we're going to get into in this episode is like, we have a lot of pop stars like waving their hands, being like, notice me. Like, how do I?
And also, frankly, it's such a glutted market.
Yeah. Like, how do I need to do that? Roll out an album without an organic viral hit or moment. Yes,
correct.
J-Lo at one point is wearing a shirt that says endangered species. Yeah. And that felt very like, to me, I'm like, mm-hmm. you think this means one thing, but really this means
the other.
This, yes. So
you want it to be one way, but it's the other way.
She looked great.
I think
dancing, great.
Dancing was impeccable.
Yeah.
Dancing was impeccable. I thought styling was really, really good. Yeah. Even if I didn't necessarily love it, felt a little costumey, but it's like
a little costumey.
I'm trying to be nice here. It was a little costumey, but like, I feel like it looks expensive in the right way and it looks expensive in the wrong way.
At the same time. There's the scene in between one of her breakups where she's watching The Way We Were. Like they licensed
a
clip.
Barbara and Redford.
Yeah, and Redford. Mm-hmm. And the Zodiacal Council notes that she's watching it every night. And then you get this dramatic zoom out and it's like she's watching a movie about love in an empty mansion.
Yeah.
Like that like made me chuckle. Like that felt a little self. Like I just like, so there's, we're dancing around the word camp.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like there, you could imagine camp. You could imagine cult midnight movie screenings of this.
It's 10 or 15 or 20 years. Not absurd enough.
I don't know. Can you imagine watching this with your closest friends?
It's not
funny.
Maybe it's absurd. No, it's true. It's absurd, but maybe it's not funny.
It's not funny, but it could get there. I think time could make it funny if anyone's going to see it. The other thing is, like, this is on Amazon Prime, and, like, we could wake up tomorrow, and it's just like, it never happened.
Absolutely smoked from the internet. I feel like we're being rough, and, look, not everything that pop stars put out is great. Not everything that your favorite pop star puts out is great. Unfortunately, we happen to be the ones who say it. And that doesn't endear us to a lot of people. I do want to say, as I was watching the film, the things that Jennifer Lopez is doing really well, she continues to do really well. And I was like, what is J-Lo Mount Rushmore? Like, what are the things that she will be remembered for? What are the things that are indelible?
She has a lot.
And that's the thing, like, which is just frankly what
30 makes, plus year career
and which makes this thing way more vexing.
Yeah,
because you expect something like this from a star with less sure footing.
But I think obviously, but her music career. Yes. And also, I think she's so famous and so in the stratosphere that like, there is not, some disconnect.
Yeah,
there.
not touching the ground.
Yeah. So but like, fair enough.
All right. J-Lo Mount Rushmore, like. Throw a few things out.
Yeah.
Obviously, in Living Color, Fly Girl era to start.
Sure.
First of all, we have a new Fly Girl coming all the way from Bronx, New York, Miss Jennifer Lopez.
Early J-Lo. First public scene of J-Lo.
Selena.
See, movie-wise, I'd take Out of Sight over Selena by far.
Out of Sight's on there, too.
But if we're doing one J-Lo film?
Oh, I think there's so many.
I agree. But if it's one...
If it's one
movie star J-Lo performance, you think it's Selena?
No, if it's one, it's either Out of Sight or it's Made in Manhattan.
Okay, see, for late J-Lo, I take The Boy Next Door.
Tell me about The Boy Next Door. I don't know that I've seen it.
I saw it in the theater. She takes up an affair with her 19-year-old neighbor. He gifts her
a
first edition of the Iliad that he finds at a garage sale.
Cool.
I think they could show this as a double feature when we do the midnight screening of This Is Me Now in a decade or two.
I do realize, have you seen Geely?
I have seen G. I have not in a long
time. I have not. If I was willing to stay up later last night,
you would have watched.
I would have watched. Maybe that's what I should have done instead of failing to fall asleep. maybe I'll watch that tonight.
On the six.
On the six, yes.
J-Lo has some great music.
Like that run in the 2000s.
Love Don't Cost a Thing.
That Journey stuff, from incredibly solid.
Yeah. A lot of great singles.
You remember the Irv Gotti interview about doing these records? Anyway, we'll come back to that. I do also want to say Jennifer Lopez as a judge on American Idol, which is not something that maybe people don't even remember. She was on for a couple seasons. This is like in the pre-Lionel Luke Katie era and the sort of transitional era. Incredible empathy.
Mm-hmm. She's a great emotional connector.
And also, like, she used to do this thing, and I think Steven Tyler was also really good at it, but like when she was looking at the person performing, I was like, you're seeing the Matrix. Like when I watch other judges, I'm just like, you might as well be on your phone.
Right.
But like when she was looking, I was like, you're seeing the Matrix, you're seeing the full package. You're like, is this person a singer? Are they a dancer? Are they a natural effusive talent? Like, what parts, like six of this, two of this, four of that? Like, she saw it and she spoke as a realist. She was just talking about what it would actually take to become famous. And I think for someone who came from an unlikely path, started as a dancer, became a pop star, and became a major actress, understanding that like you have to work with unexpected component parts to build a whole thing, she was able to tell that to like some 17-year-old from Alabama.
Yeah, like her thing is hard work. Her thing is like showing you how hard she's working, whether it's in love or in music. And I think that she's like, she likes to portray her own effort. So it makes sense that she would see that in another person.
Is there anything on the Mount Rushmore that you want to add?
Let's see. J-Lo, Mount Rushmore. I mean, I don't know her.
Und was ist mit J-Lo?
I don't know. Die kenne ich nicht.
Does that count?
Sure.
It's not her, but it's part of her.
It is part.
I think it's one of the things she will be remembered for, her long running feud with Mariah Carey.
Are you for Made in Manhattan or Wedding Planner? Which one?
Ooh. I think Made in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think Made in Manhattan too, but it's close.
Yeah.
It is close. Great run. And also like would love to see more of those. Like a movie like that, sort of what I was saying before, a movie like that, but a little bit more autobiographical,
sure,
lighthearted,
sure, with Ben.
Love it. I'd love to see it.
Why not?
Netflix, back at the truck.
It makes me wonder why she needs this pop comeback. Like, she really did totally this rollout in a huge old fashioned way. Like, she played SNL.
Did she? Okay.
She had like,
oh yeah, the IO thing.
So she had like a little online thing. Like, she had everything you could possibly want. She had like the film. She had the old fashioned network television thing. Yeah. She had like an online kerfuffle where IO Debery, who hosted the SNL episode that she was in, old comments surfaced on TMZ the day of the rehearsals of her talking trash about J-Lo. And then there was like many day news cycle about her apologizing. It reminded me of this. And what was funny is like J-Lo played it very straight face after the fact. She said, IO came to her tears in her eyes in her dressing room and apologized. Like,
How bad were the comments? I gotta be honest.
You didn't listen.
Yeah.
She was just doing what we just did. You know, she's just making fun of J-Lo's
work. Our Hollywood career is torched already.
She was like, I heard she doesn't even sing those songs. You know, like long running rumors about J-Lo when she's getting blasphemed on the internet.
We had IO on podcast?
Yeah, basically.
IO, come on podcast. You really want to talk that talk?
No, she took it all back. But what was interesting is like, J-Lo had this in her past. There's this old profile that I read in the research for this on MovieLine. MovieLine.
Right.
Which, you know, long dead publication.
Yeah, sure.
But it resurfaces every couple years because she is just talking so much trash about every other A-list actress of the moment. This is right before Out of Sight came out. So she's like fresh off of
98 or
99. Yeah, she's fresh off of, you know, Selena happened. She did like Anaconda. She did U-Turn. You know, she was a big actress before she was a pop star.
Yeah.
And she goes in on Salma Hayek, Cameron Diaz, Winona Ryder. She's like, Claire Danes, yeah, she's pretty good.
She beautiful gowns to Claire Danes.
Like savage stuff. And this is like the kind of profile when people like us say, like, oh, they don't do celebrity profiles like this anymore. Like Playboy interview style, both the star and the writer are just totally wiling, saying whatever. Like, it's very like he comes and she's like getting massaged by the pool and he's talking about her body, you know, like drooling over her for like thousands of words, getting paid thousands of dollars for that. And then she really like lives up and just like
goes to town.
And the whole thing is about how like she's so self-confident and so like, I'm the great, like you can see the person that made this film
being
a young person, sure. Like the sort of chutzpah that allows one to do what this is, you know. And she hit the ground. She's like, there's videos of her like at Target in the Bronx, like signing CDs from last week. Like she and yet like for what? Like this is not going to be a thing. Like no, this is not going to be a hit J-Lo album.
No, and it's like at the beginning we asked like, are pop stars okay? And J-Lo is maybe not the exact right person to
pin that on.
Right, because she's not a contemporary pop star. But it speaks to the notion that attention is so precious.
Yes.
And even someone of J-Lo's stature, with her story, with her legacy, with her Mount Rushmore,
yeah,
is still... I mean, imagine, as you said, imagine the number of meetings. Imagine the number of calls. Like the
$20 million worth of meetings.
For what?
Yeah.
And it's like, in the same way that it's hard to get attention, it's also hard to like tank your career. Like in a different era, something like this might have been Geely.
Right.
You know? Right. Now it's just going to be like, it'll disappear into the streaming ecosystem and nobody will ever think about it again. Until, like you say, maybe there is a midnight screening. Popcast Deluxe, Midnight Screening, Metrograph, 2035?
Sure. But what's interesting to me is that we're seeing this problem across generations for A-list pop stars and aspiring A-list pop stars. For people who want to do a big tent, mainstream, zeitgeist-grabbing thing. It makes me think of what's happening with Justin Timberlake right now.
Well, at least something's making you think about Justin Timberlake.
That's the thing. It's like, because he's a little bit still running scared of what his public persona is at the moment on the back of the reevaluation of Janet Jackson and Britney Spears and how he treated them. And so he's like sort of tiptoeing. But the result...
He needs to make a confession. I mean, it's like we said this before. He needs to make a confession.
And it's like he's done the, I'm sorry. He's done the, I don't give a bleep. You know, he took back the apology. He put out this song that sounds like a B-side from Justin Bieber's Journals. Like, just like the most slight song of all time. He is on TikTok making like really uncomfortable TikTok promos. You know I was blinded by my heart, sinking from the side. Should have never followed you this far. Now I'm in the deep end. He's teasing a new song that'll be out this week, and there's like a version where he's playing it on piano, like previewing it. After 12 hours, it had like 200,000 views. You know, just like this, like Jessica Biel's in the mix, his Ben Affleck. Like he's tentatively trying everything.
Please meet my Ben Affleck.
It's just like, but he's facing the same thing. It's like, this is one of the biggest stars in the world 20 years ago. What now? Like, what, like, should he make Lemonade? Like, he's so lost.
Generations turn over so fast now that like part of it is like, you know, if you're Madonna's era or whatever, like you can reliably feel like maybe if you're around 10 to 20 years,
oh, J-Lo took a huge shot at Madonna in that profile.
Really?
She's like, do I think Madonna is a great performer? Yes. Do I think she's a great actress? No. I act. What I do is act.
Not no. Not no.
You're not supposed to say that if you're Jennifer Lopez. And then you're going to go be a pop star.
Yeah, but like you could say it if you're John and Joe. Fine. Wow.
Okay. All right.
Point J-Lo on that one.
Sorry.
We didn't. But like even Madonna, like this thing where the video for Popular with Cardi and The Weeknd debuts in Fortnite. Like
this is crazy though. But this is the thing. Madonna messed around and fell into a legitimate hit.
It's an actual
like
hit.
Popular is a with Playboy Cardi and The Weeknd, like a big song on the radio all the time.
But it is
weirdly
not,
good.
But it is not. Doesn't sound like a Madonna song.
No, but why can't they just be grateful for the organic?
I totally agree.
Hit,
but then
and not need to make it a 2024 version of what they would have done in the 80s or the 90s or the early 2000s. It's like they can't quite let go of where they think they should be in the broader conversation.
Do you think it's as simple as stars of that level up through Beyonce and Taylor? Like the pathway is just not viable anymore?
But and also the needing to grasp for the same pathway. I think it's like,
you think there's a way to be as famous, but it's not through the same path.
I think if you're Madonna and you're on this massive tour, people loving it, you just accidentally have a hit with two contemporary artists, like cash the check.
Say thanks.
Yeah, like cash the check, keep it moving, you know? You don't then have to go back in the studio with those guys and try to like make an album that captures that attention. It's like the things that work are fleeting in this moment. Like the things that work, unless you're a Beyonce or a Taylor
Swift. And that's true for
everyone.
That's true for older artists. It's true for
younger
artists.
That's what I mean. And I do think we're seeing younger artists struggle with a version of the same thing right now. I'm thinking of Dua Lipa and the way she's rolled out these first two singles for what seemed to be her next album.
What's the single? A Training Season?
Training Season.
Okay. I'm sorry. We have to show the art for Training Season. Do you see this?
Yes.
It's a little on the nose. I'm sorry. It's a little on the nose. Like, you can't make art. You can't be on the cusp of relevance and then make artwork that depicts you hanging on for dear life.
It's like the endangered species t-shirt. But even that, it's like we joked about this last week. Multi-week rollout.
Also,
for
I
a
like
second single.
Just for the record, I like Dua Lipa.
Do you?
I do. I like the music. Okay. I like the music generally. This, I don't love this.
This song had the opening slot at the Grammy Awards.
It's bonkers.
It's bonkers. Weeks before the video. And then there's all these forced Easter eggs about her ex-boyfriends. Like, do we really expect people to be like, oh, this part's about Anwar Hadid? Like,
what is the other part about Trevor Noah?
There's a Trevor Noah reference.
There's a bar
in the video.
I'll take your word for it. I wish to not know.
Why? Like, Dua Lipa,
you need touch points. I mean, this is the thing. And this is the thing that I think we have been increasingly aware of. There is no such thing as big umbrella content anymore.
So all stop trying.
Right. No, but all you have are a series of tiny touch points.
Yeah.
And all you can do is hope genuinely in the scroll that you catch someone's eye or ear. And if you don't have 1,000 touch points, this is going to end up in some marketing deck somewhere. But it's like, if you don't have 1,000 touch points, you don't have anything. And I think people are still thinking the only way that I can achieve the big thing is to have all these tiny touch points. And I think what Dua is trying to do by, forgive me, this is your phrase, but like QAnoning the rollout. But like, I think what they're trying to do is sort of activate that same level of fan intensity that the Beehive is, or the Navy,
or the Swifties,
who are doing this partially organically and partially fed by the stars and the stars' machines. But if you're not those people who have that many fans, who are that dedicated,
you wrote the playbook. Like, yes. You're doing this, you came up with this along the way. semi-organically. Like, yes. Sure, it's manufactured, of course, when Taylor's like, the elevator buttons add up to what the date of the album or whatever it's going to be. You know, like, that's, I think that's real. I don't know. Some, you know, some version of that. Tell us in the comments. But like you've been doing that from day one. Right. Like,
it's literally part of.
Yeah, you can't reverse engineer it. Or you can try. But you talk about these touch points, and it's like, we see it even level below Dua Lipa, like the Camila Cabello thing where she's.
You put that in the note, and I literally was like, I don't know what that is. What?
She's like doing a lo-fi, like grainy video camera, bleached her hair. She's like coming alt in like these teasers for her new thing. Like, again, like weeks before songs
not
or videos.
Everyone, okay. Also, not everyone has to have eras. Not
this every common misconception yes, right now.
Not everyone has to have eras. In fact, most of y'all don't even have one era.
Charlie XCX. She's coming back with an album. Okay, the last album was like, I'm going to make a big pop album. It's going to be my last one for the major label. Like, I'm meta pop, I'm real pop, and then I'm going to go be independent. It's like she re-signed with Atlantic Records.
And then made a TikTok about...
About them trying to force her to do marketing things.
Yeah. Here we are.
Oh, no.
Charlie gets some nipples pierced at class.
Charlie leaks a sex tape. Von Dutch is playing softly in the background.
This is like a meta. The label's trying to make me do this. Here's the list of ideas. And then you get like a bunch of... Forgive me, like internet level talent to read those unfunny ideas. You know, like what, like
protect Rachel said it. That's all I'm saying.
None of this is working. None of this is leading to anything but mockery.
Right?
Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, we didn't talk about the Yeet Crop Circles.
We could talk about the Yeet Crop Circles.
And again, so Yeet's new album, 2093.
Yeah, 2093 songs is how long the album is.
The first thing, or one of the first things that you see about it, is that they're somewhere in the Midwest. They did a big crop circle.
Right. Speaking of artists with one era, with who's not bothering to differentiate between
but that's
eras.
That's fine.
Yeah.
While Playboi Carti is off doing whatever Playboi Carti is doing, canceling arena tours and just, you know, like wearing those hats, like funny hats,
yeah,
and cool jackets and
pointy hat.
Yeah. And mesh top, like all that stuff. Great. Look, Carti looking great, by the way.
Who wore it better? Like Iggy said,
Yeet should just take, they should have just given the Yeet tour, the Carti dates.
And
just
I think
slipped
they might
it
have.
In.
Like Yeet. This is a, rapper, a warbler.
Everybody got mad at me on the internet when I was like, Travis Scott, not a rapper. Everybody got mad.
What about Yeet? Yeet's a rapper? Yeet's a rapper.
Yeet's a rapper.
Yeet's a rapper. Came up sort of mysteriously, enigmatically.
Yeah.
Didn't show his face for a while. Turns out.
Just a guy.
He's just a guy. His name's Noah.
Yeet. Yeet.
But has made like an arena ready sound, like quietly became the only young rapper who could play to 10,000 or more people.
Yeah, like it's he could do Rolling Loud himself.
He is Rolling Loud.
Yeah,
he's all of it.
He is all
rolled
of it.
Up. And it's loud.
And he's got 4-5 albums.
Doesn't matter.
It's they're all like I tried writing an album review of a Yeet album once. Like a full, like 1,000-word album. It was really hard. Really hard.
It was like a text-based experiment where it was all one line and one word. Like it just all blends together. Yeah. It was poetry.
There's one, you know, it's one idea. He's a single idea rapper.
Yeah.
But his idea is really good.
Yeah. And it's to like sound a little bit like Young Thug and a little bit like Future and a little bit like Drake and a little bit like Lil Wayne, all of whom... Minus the get together with him on this album.
On the bonus version.
And it was interesting the way Yeet tried to get attention other than the crop circle. And maybe this was a logistical thing because Drake turns in his verses late, typically. Sometimes doesn't make albums that he's promised to be on. You know, Drake moves at Drake sometime, as he should. Yeah, he's got a lot of bets to place on steak. No, but the...
Not Spawn.
Steak sponsor us. The album came out, the Eat album came out, and then the next day they
literally
added
the
Drake
fastest
track.
Fastest turnaround, yeah.
It was a deluxe album, like the 24th track for the Yeet album. I do think this may be like the apotheosis of the long, every song sounds the same streaming era rap album. Zach Bryan, yeah. No, like this is like, to me, it's like there's nowhere else to go from here. This is it. But the Drake song comes out.
You mean the upcoming 39 song net spend album?
Right.
It's not gonna, 39 song 27 minute net spend album.
Yeah,
that's not gonna do it for you.
So this like actually brings a second wave of attention to a Yeet album. Mm-hmm. Like that came out, you know, and it is one day to the next you can lose attention for an album.
Absolutely.
So having attention on two consecutive days,
that counts.
This is going to be a number one album.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a small number one album, but it's probably going to top the chart.
Mm-hmm.
The J-Lo album is not. And he did something kind of successful, which is he brought his mentors into his world. Like, to me, that's like the mark of whether a rap album is working. It's like, we've talked about
this. Do your OG show up?
Do your guests show up? And do you bring them to you or do you go to them?
Yeah.
And Wayne sounds amazing on this.
Yeah.
This is not a beat you would expect to hear Wayne on. Future sounds great on this, more natural fit for him. Mm-hmm. But these guys all seem to see Yeet as a peer, even though, as we said, he's just some guy. Like he somehow survived.
Were we not all just some guy?
But like he survived his mask being taken off,
yes,
like literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And here he is, like quietly the new rap superstar that people have been asking for.
Knowing that we were going to do an episode about how hard it was for people to get attention, I think something that's been striking over the last couple of years are artists who seem to arrive. I don't want to use the term organic, but like seem to have a tremendous amount of success coming out of unexpected places. It is as close to bottom up as it can be, as opposed to the top down stuff. And we were looking at the Hot 100 the other day, and like, if I had told you like 3 months ago, like the number two and three songs in the country were going to be by Teddy Swims and Benson Boots.
Yeah, you had to look. You just had to look up his name.
I was about to say
mid sentence. That's the level of anonymity we're talking here.
Unthinkable.
Benson Boone.
Yes. Correct. Teddy Swims' Lose Control, which has been growing for a long time. Benson Boone, Beautiful Things, which is a bit of a TikTok thing. The Benson Boone record is a very fast ascent. It's like Foa Kahan, a little energy, and then it turned into like kind of like a loud early 2000s rocker midway through. Teddy Swims is doing scrapey blue-eyed soul. Have you gone through the Teddy Swims covers?
I've not gone through the Teddy Swims anything. I've heard the song.
First of all, my guy used to front like metal bands and like hard rock bands, and he has gauges, mm-hmm, and he has plugs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's taken them out for his new fame, mm-hmm, but like he used to have there's a video of him with a bandana, like hair, like a just a thin hair, like
a little mohawk,
yeah, but not vertical, like a mohawk motel,
okay,
a mohawk pony,
okay,
barefoot singing Shania Twain songs like on a truck or something.
Just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
It, like, all the signifiers were really jumbled anyway, but I think it's an interesting jumble of all American music in the 2000 or 2010s. Anyway, Howard Teddy Swims and Benson Boone, the number two and three song of the country. And I think about this in stark contrast to what we've just been talking about, which are incredibly famous people trying to identify pathways to broad-based recognition. And there is something to be learned, I think, from how these two artists have bullied their way to the top of the charts.
Not even bullied, though. Like, this is the only way.
Not even fair. Right.
This is the only way that things happen. And I just think trying to do it any other way, especially
trying to engineer it,
if you're past your peak, it's a fool's errand. It's just like, you can't compete with this.
No, and frankly, your best hope, I think, if you're a legacy artist, is to hope some 15-year-old on TikTok finds a song of yours, thinks it's hilarious, and like puts it back in the zeitgeist.
Or just double down and feed your people. Don't even bother trying to do something on the scale of this J-Lo film.
Can you sing me two bars of Teddy Swims Lose Control?
I can't sing you anything.
You got a song this week?
I do. I have like a palate cleanse.
I also have a palate cleanse, but you go first.
Before we get into the song of the week, I want to just do a quick correction for last week.
Oh my God.
We had a conversation.
We should have led with this.
We had a conversation
about
how it's hard to pronounce artist names that you see on the internet.
Can you just talk to camera?
Yeah. All right. All right. Streaming services, free idea. The name at the top of the page.
So many free ideas.
Here's a good one. The name of the artist at the top of the page should be clickable, and it should have a pronunciation by the artists themselves. I know these artists come through your office. They beg for playlist placement. Put a microphone in their face. Have them pronounce their name. I said my artist last week, I said his name was Mick G. Mick G.
Mick G, which is also the number five on the Happy Meal list of McDonald's. Yeah.
Mick G, like the director of Charlie's Angels.
Who did not. Do you saw the comment that you...
So I'm doing a correction within the correction. Mick G did not direct the pilot of the OC. He produced it. He was busy. And Mick G, the singer, we're told, is pronounced McGee. Even though this man has a project earlier in his career called Pronounced M-C-G-E-E.
To be fair, that's McGee.
But could also be McG. Phonetically, G-E-E is G.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you. That's McGee.
It's not it's not spelled phonetically.
I will say, in the text chain where this was revealed to us,
you still didn't know McGee or McGee.
No, I didn't. I had to have it like voice memoed, but also maybe he should just change it.
Yeah. MK.GEE. Great album. I've been listening to it a lot. Check that out.
Joe apologize.
It's pronounced McGee. You keep saying Kahan. We know for weeks now it's Khan.
It's my new Billie Eilish.
This man said name is Noah Khan.
It's my new Billie Eilish. I'm sorry. We're bringing it back.
You know a name I can't say? Lainey Wilson.
Yes.
Lainey Wilson's
Grammy
back.
Award winner, Lainey Wilson.
Grammy Award winner, Lainey Wilson, coming back. I think her last album was 2022. She's got a song called Country's Cool Again.
Crazy timing.
Really good timing. Legitimately good timing. Someone needed to write this song after country music's year last year. Why not Lainey Wilson? I came to Lainey Wilson with a little bit of hate in my heart because of Watermelon Moonshine, and it's such a direct rip off of Strawberry Wine. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Incredible song.
A very important song in my
childhood. Can we just play a little bit of Strawberry
Wine? Just a little bit of Strawberry Wine.
Deanna Carter.
On the banks of the river, on a well-beaten path, it's funny how those memories, they last like strawberry wine. 17, the hot July moon, saw everything.
But then I started listening to Watermelon Moonshine so much, and now I see it as a loving tribute, even though Deanna didn't get paid off of it, as far as I can tell.
It's the Miley Cyrus flowers to Bruno Mars.
Yes.
Okay.
I like this new Lainey Wilson song. It's the same thing where it's like, it's so obvious, but it's the right time, the right place, right sound.
It's like a country music theme song.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It should be in the ad for like, hey, you want to move to Nashville and be a country star? And then like this song kind of like pipes in the background.
Country's cool again.
For what it's worth, country love is cool. Just want to put that out there. I never wavered. Others had wavered. I never wavered. Just want to be very clear about that. Okay, I have a palate cleanse for your palate cleanse. So I was scrolling through New Music Friday, and like every now and again, it's like you encounter an artist's name you haven't heard, but usually they're like at number 58 or 77.
Or lower.
Yeah. This is at number 10, I think. And I was crazy, like slipping. Hit play, and I was like, nah, this is a smash. This is a smanger. This is an absolute bop.
So it got to number 10?
Yes. What do you know about...
Not that the ranking of a New Music Friday is always accurate.
Sorry, yeah, we don't take that seriously. What do you know about John Summit?
Tell me.
John Summit is a deep house producer. This is like extremely like EDM core. Like this is Brooklyn Mirage energy, right? Like it's pop. It reminds me of early 90s club pop, but delivered through the framework of what I imagine deep house has evolved to sound like now.
Okay.
Like to be fair, I am a tourist in this world. I spent a lot more time in nightclubs in the 90s and 2000s. A lot of this music has become, to my ear, like incredibly trite and corporate. And like, forgive me, it's a silly way to talk about music, but these songs are by design produced within an inch of their life. And so because of that, very rarely does something come along that feels like it has like a pulsing heart. This has a guest vocalist. Name is Hyla.
Tell John how he mispronounced it, and then we'll do it again next episode.
This song is called Shiver, and it effing goes. Can you feel?
We have a special and potentially violent snack of the week this week.
I bought this at the same place that I bought the gel.
The sour gel that we tried. The
sour gel. Yeah, like I said, this is a place upstate that had a lot of, I mean, I would say esoteric candy, but like I'm not. First of all, if there's a place where we can buy like 20 things that are of this, tell us where to go. Because I would like to try increasingly weirder things. And
this
like,
is pretty weird.
This is pretty weird. I think it's actually, if I had to guess, I think the actual taste of it's not going to be that exciting. But as process, this is weird.
So this is called Magic Potion.
Sure.
It's a mystery flavor. It's one part liquid. And then it comes with a little packet attached to it. Packet seems to be the flavor tablet. And you
like flavor dishwashing detergent.
Yeah, are we sure this is edible?
Yeah, this is real Tide Pod energy.
So the instructions say, introduce the tablet, wait 5 seconds, and then number 3, would you dare to taste it? So I'm going to mix this up. Give us a
if
little.
This is our last Popcast Deluxe. I just want to say how much I've enjoyed it. If this takes us out.
All right, John.
It's a great way to go.
There's 3 flavor tablets. They all seem to be identical.
Okay.
How many am I going to put in our magic potion?
All of them. Okay. No. Is there some version of this where
if you could only handle one tablet today, I would do one tablet.
I do want to say I've not had any food today.
Oh God.
This is going to be so damaging on an empty stomach, but we do it for you.
All right. This is the tablet.
What do they look like?
They look like a sweet tart. Okay. No logo.
No, thank you,
the
Naomi.
The way we like it.
Thank you, Naomi Klein.
The way we like it. All right, one's in.
Wait, it's hold enough. It up. Is it fizzing?
It's fizzing a little bit. Oh, okay, it's fizzing like an Alka-Seltzer. You see that? Okay, all right, we're cooking. I'm going to read you the ingredients.
Do you think it's going to change color?
Okay. No, it seems like it's going to stay yellow. But I'm going to read you some of the ingredients while we wait for it to cook. Sour. It says sour water. is the ingredient. The product is called sour water. Water, citric acid.
Oh, yeah.
Malic acid.
Yeah.
Bunch of words I can't pronounce. Aspartame, potassium sorbate, preservative, artificial flavors. Red 40, blue 1, yellow 5, yellow 6. Warning. Excess consumption may have a laxative effect. and we're past the best before date.
Yeah, for the record. No. I mean, look, this is pure science. It's like, this is pure.
Oh, okay. It's getting, yeah, it's really getting fizzy, like near the top.
It's like peach color, maybe?
Yeah, sure. All right. Are you ready for me to pour it?
Yeah, you don't want to wait for all the flavor.
It's going to like volcano.
Yeah.
Getting just, close to the top.
Oh, up and
I'm going to pour it.
All right, let's go. Mm-hmm. Are you giving me all the bottom wash? Did the pail
redistribute a little bit?
It's fine. I don't think we're drinking it in full.
I'm going to shoot the whole thing. Come on. You got to shoot the whole thing. Right. Cheers. You just left me hanging like that?
I'm going to do it. I'm just.
If it comes out your nose, it's going to hurt.
Did you smell it?
It doesn't smell.
Are you kidding me?
It smells like citric acid.
It smells like Fabulosa.
Drink up. It's quite flavorless.
Yeah, it just tastes like dirty water.
It just tastes like dirty water.
Sour water.
It's not that sour, though.
Is it?
I have no idea what the mystery flavor
is. It's like anonymous. Ugh. I definitely just burped something. It's like anonymous citrus something.
What's the real failure of this candy is I don't think there's any way to find out what the mystery flavor is, and it doesn't taste like anything. So we can't even get the answer.
Yeah. I mean, that was like a lot of fun process.
But huge anticlimax.
It's a zero.
It's a zero. It's a zero out of 10.
Oh.
It's not a snack.
I will say this. No, it's not a snack. I enjoyed greatly the process.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a one for process.
It's a zero.
Zero. That's our show. As we said before, subscribe on YouTube. It's youtube.com/popcast. Press the button below. We're on TikTok at Popcast Deluxe. We're on Instagram also at Popcast Deluxe. Every podcast ever is at nytimes.com/popcast. Email us at popcastnytimes.com with questions. We're going to do a mailbag episode pretty soon, so start sending questions in for that. Also, tinyurl.com/popcastdiscord or Popcast Facebook. That's for the Discord and the Facebook group. The t-shirts are at itsthepopcast.myshopify.com, and the assorted custom merch is on Zazzle. So type Popcast in the Zazzle and you'll find it. Our senior producer is Sawyer Roque, doing double duty today. Jamie Heffitz is our editor. Special thanks to Karen Gans, Nel Galogli, Leslie Davis, Pat Gunther. We'll be back next week.